Have you ever been told to shut up? Maybe a better question is this. When is the last time someone told you, shut up? It might have been like this morning, on the way to church. I don't know, but I know that I've been told that multiple times, including by this cute little dear lady on the front row right here, my mama. Listen, but I have an even more specific question. Have you ever been told to shut up about Jesus? Has anyone ever told you to shut up about Jesus? A handful of years ago, we had a very dear friend of ours, Zach Stark, and Zach was part of our church staff here, was a pastor with us for over a year, and Zach had an opportunity to go to our city council meeting here in Santa Maria, and I love this about our city. Santa Maria, I don't know if you know this, but we begin every city council meeting with what they call an invocation. It's where one of the spiritual leaders in our city gets an opportunity to get up and pray right before the city council meeting. It's a very cool thing. And so Zach had responded to that, and he was there. He prayed a blessing over our city. He prayed a blessing over the city council. And he concluded the prayer in a way that would be very, very common for many of us. He said, in Jesus' name, amen. Suddenly, in the back of the room came this voice. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Zach was like, what in the world, you know? And so went and took his seat. But here's the thing. No one had told Zach not to pray in Jesus' name. He was free to do that. But there was someone who took it upon themselves to communicate what I really believe is kind of a hellish threat. How dare you bring that name into our city council chambers? How dare you bring the name of Jesus into this place? In Jesus' name. Well, it reminded me of a story. Something that we actually just read about, if you're following along with our 260 reading, where we're reading the 260 chapters of the New Testament as a church family. Many of us are doing that. It's a beautiful thing. And so it was in Acts 3 and 4 that we come across this interesting story. And as part of that story, we get to this place where the religious leaders are all upset. They're all up in arms, and they come up with a similar hellish thing that was stated in the back of our city council room, and it's found in Acts 4:17. And this is the way they put it. They said this, "We must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again." That's what we have to do. We're taking it upon ourselves to tell them they must never speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. Here's the way another version puts that. It says, we must make them afraid to talk to anyone again using that name. We must make them afraid. You know what? I believe that hell is still using that same kind of threat against us now. Wants to make us fearful of using the name of Jesus. Why? Why does hell want us to stop using the name of Jesus? Because there is power in his name. There is power in his name. And what we see in this fuller story of Acts 3 and 4, we see the importance and the power of Jesus' name. So we're just going to kind of rewind this story a bit and share what we can discern together from these early disciples and how they used the name of Jesus and why they said it was so important. You ready to go? So the beginning of Acts chapter 3 is Peter and John, who are two of Jesus' closest followers, who were part of his disciples. They became apostles, getting out there and starting churches and preaching and teaching. Great men of God. They were on their way into the temple for prayer. There was kind of like a regular time to show up for prayer. And so Peter and John were headed into the temple. Jesus recently had gone to the cross, sacrificed his life for us, was buried, was raised again, had gone back to heaven. And so now we're reading the stories of like, how did these early followers of Jesus actually follow him? We have a lot to learn from that. And so Peter and John headed into the temple to pray, but they're confronted by a man who's a cripple. And we read later in the story that he was over 40 years old, and he'd been crippled since birth. So this is a guy who had never taken a step a day in his life. And he was carried to the temple every day to, you know, help. Hopefully his people were going in for prayer, that, you know, that they would take pity on him and give something for his resource. So that's where we pick up this story. And we're going to start reading Acts 3, verse 3. And it says this. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for some money. Peter and John looked at him intently. And Peter said, "Look at us." The lame man looked at them eagerly, expecting some money. But Peter said, I don't have any. So I don't have any silver or gold for you, but I'll give you what I have. Can you say those words? I'll give you what I have. In the name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, get up and walk. Then Peter took the lame man by the right hand and helped him up. And as he did, the man's feet and ankles, listen, this guy had never taken a step in his life. But instantly, his feet and his ankles were instantly healed and strengthened. I love that. God didn't just heal him, but listen, you know, like, if you don't walk for a long time, you know what happens to your muscles? They atrophy. They just, like, fall apart, like you don't have any muscles. So God not only heals him, like, okay, now you're all fine, but you have no strength. No, he instantly became like Arnold Schwarzenegger, right? A good neighbor. And he's like bulked up. And he's like, he's not only healed, but he's strengthened instantly. So what does he do? He doesn't just get up slowly. It says he jumped up. He's like, what is going on in my body? He jumped up, stood on his feet, and began to walk. Then walking and leaping and praising God, he went into the temple with them. This man, over 40 years old, never taken a step in his life, is now, oh man, he's having his own Holy Ghost dance party. I mean, he's like, woo-ha! You know, Jesus, this is incredible. Well, guess what? He's having his own Holy Ghost dance party, and people are like around the temple going, what is going on? So it says that people from all over the temple came running over to see what is going on over here. So Peter, never one to miss an opportunity to open his mouth, he sees this crowd gathering, so he's go, okay, I've got like this opportunity. I'm going to take an offering. No, he didn't do that. He says, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. So he launches in to this awesome story about telling who Jesus is, what he has done. And in that message, he even says, it was through faith in the name of Jesus. Everybody say the name of Jesus. Says, it was through faith in the name of Jesus that this man was healed. Then comes the confrontation. See, Jesus had died, buried, rose again, back in heaven. Jesus was no longer present. But the religious leaders of the day, who had been all up in Jesus' face all the time, I mean, just like kept confronting Jesus, they were jealous of the attention that Jesus was getting. They were filled with pride. They didn't want to recognize and realize that their customs, their traditions, and literally the way that they had been serving God for thousands of years, that Jesus had come to bring a new and living way. A new and living way, not based on the sacrifice of animals and like to try to get forgiveness for sin, that Jesus came to bring one sacrifice on the cross that would be good for all of humanity for all time. They didn't want any of that. So now they're hearing these people continue. It's like we thought we were rid of Jesus. And now this confrontation happens because they are so upset. So they arrest Peter and John. And so then we get to verse 7 of verse 4. When it says this, they brought in the two disciples and demanded, by what power or in whose name have you done this? So Peter replies, going down to verse 10. Let me clearly state, in case any of you have missed this, I want to be really, really clear, Peter says. Let me clearly state to all of you and to all the people of Israel, he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ, the Nazarene, the man you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead. Now, if that wasn't enough, I mean, it's like he was healed by the name of Jesus. He tells the crowd earlier he was healed by his faith in the name of Jesus. Now he's standing before this court, this religious court, saying he was healed by the powerful name of Jesus Christ. But then if that is not enough, Peter doubles down on the importance of Jesus' name. And we find one of the most, I believe, important verses in all of Scripture that is just two verses later in verse 12 of Acts chapter 4. Because listen to what Peter says. He says, there is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name. Can you say those words? No other name under heaven by which we must be saved. There is no other name. Now listen, you may hear those words and you go, oh, whoa, 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 time out, pastor. That might have been good for, you know, those people thousands of years ago, kind of in this Eastern culture where they were used to having, you know, this singular God. But you know what? We don't live in that kind of a world anymore. Pastor, don't you realize these words are politically incorrect, socially unacceptable? We are a culture now, we are way more enlightened. We believe in diversity and we, you know, believe in inclusion. Everything is okay. You can't say things like this. This is like, don't say those words. Peter, you can't say that because those are very exclusive claims. You either believe in them or you don't. Like there, Jesus is, this is causing me to have a little anxiety here. What do you mean there's no other name that leads to salvation? And I hear almost that voice from the back of the city council, Jesus' name. How dare you? How dare you lift up the name of Jesus above all other gods? But apparently Jesus wasn't really worried about being politically correct. Apparently Jesus wasn't really worried about being socially acceptable. And you know what? When you're God, you can get away with that. Because this is what Jesus said. We read it in John 14:6. When we read the words of Jesus, when he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. And this is exactly what Peter was representing when he said, there is no other name. There is no other way. These are the exclusive truths about who Jesus is. Yes, it's about what he has done, going to the cross and making a way for us. As Ken and Rosa shared with us earlier about this new covenant relationship that God was creating for his people. This is who Jesus is. He is the Messiah, the chosen one, the anointed one. He is the only Son of God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is the Savior. And he is Lord. There is no other. There is no other name. There is no other Jesus. There is no other Lord. And he exclusively holds these positions. Listen, we can have two political candidates that we might feel like could, they probably could equally serve about as well. You can have two favorite flavors of ice cream. Like, you like them both equally as well. You might even have multiple places around this beautiful planet that you think are equally as wonderful. There's lots of things that we can say are, oh man, that's pretty equal right there. But you know what? When it comes to who Jesus is, he says, you can have no other equal with me. There is no equal. He says, I alone am Lord. And that was what Peter was preaching. And that's what got these religious leaders so upset. Because he is Lord, guess what? That's why we worship him. That's why we worship him. But it's also why Jesus is so divisive. And when you hear his name, it brings different responses because people recognize the authority that is in his name and that Jesus allows no middle ground when it comes to his lordship. You either accept his lordship, that there is none other besides you, Jesus, or we end up fighting against his lordship, trying to come up with our own way to heaven. And this is what got those religious leaders so angry with Peter and what he was proclaiming. And so that's when they huddled together and made this decision. I want to read it again. It's Acts 4:17. When it said, when they huddled together and made this decision, we must warn them not to speak to anyone in Jesus' name again. So Peter was, pretty freaked out by this, right? I mean, he was like, what are they saying? Man, they arrested us. They could kill us. Jesus was just killed by these guys. Was that Peter's response? Oh, no. No, no, no. See, Peter had something within him. Do you remember what he said to that man, the crippled man? He said, I don't have any money. He said, but what I have, I will give to you. He had something within him that made all the difference. He had Jesus living within him. And so when they make these threats against Peter, Peter's not freaked out. And so this is what he says. You know, after they have these threats, in verse 19 and 20, it says, "But Peter and John replied, 'Do you think God wants us to obey you rather than him? We cannot stop.'" I love those words. Man, I love those are the words of people who have Jesus living within them. Those are the words of people who understand the authority and the lordship of, we can't stop. We're not gonna stop. You can threaten us, you can even kill us, but we're not gonna stop. I love that. We cannot stop telling about everything we have seen and heard because Jesus is alive. And Jesus is not only alive in heaven, Jesus is alive right here in my soul. So the religious leaders, they knew that all the people were kind of with them. And it's like, what could they say? This crippled man had just been healed. And so what do they do? They end up having to release them after giving them these threats. You better not. So what do? They run back to their tribe. They run back to the church. They run back to the other believers, and they tell them the story. This is what's going on. This is what God did, but this is what these threats that have been coming against us and warning us not to speak in Jesus' name. So listen to their prayer, because they immediately go to prayer, and it's captured in verses 29 and 30 of Acts 4. So this is their part of their prayer. "And now, O Lord, hear these threats and give us, your servants, great boldness in preaching your word." Listen, just pause there for a second. This is amazing. Because I think a lot of times when there's threats that come against us individually, or maybe as the church, or maybe we feel threatened as the people of God, you know what it's so easy to do? Try to circle the wagons and like go on defense, right? Okay, we need to take this defensive posture because the world is against us. No, they did the opposite. They didn't go on defense against these threats that were coming. No, they went on the offense. They were like, "Jesus, you've heard these threats, so protect us. Keep us from these evil people." No, they didn't go on the defense. They said, "Give us boldness so that we can even go out stronger, so that we can proclaim your name more boldly." That's what they prayed. And then they say, "God, stretch out your hand with healing power. May miraculous signs and wonders be done," come on, say the words, "through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Through your name. Not because we're so good, not because we have it all figured out, not because we have a righteousness of our own and we're all perfect people. No, do these things because of your name. We're going to declare your name with boldness. So God, we ask that you would do these things in response. So let's revisit really quickly. What in these two chapters did we find, discover from those early disciples about the name of Jesus? Let's just like refresh. Go ahead and put that next slide up. This is what we just read. There is healing power in the name of Jesus. There is miracle working power in the name of Jesus. And there is the power to save in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. The power to heal, the power to do miracles, to move heaven and earth, to accomplish God's purpose. And literally the power to bring salvation. It's all found in the name of Jesus. There is no other name. There is no other name that holds that kind of authority and power. Some of you are familiar with the Ten Commandments. Do you know what the third commandment is? This is a hint right here. do not use the name of the Lord in vain. That's number three, for a reason, I believe. I think God knew. Why would God say, don't use my name in vain, or like, don't use my name lightly? Why do you think? Because there is power in God's name. There's power in his name. So we don't use it like lightly or like, oh, you know, whatever. How people just kind of drop God's name, God this, God that, or Jesus this, Jesus that. Listen, and I know culturally it's so easy to fall into that habit. Can I just urge you that if that has become your habit to just like kind of like drop Jesus' name like into sentences when you're not praying or you're not talking about Jesus, but you're using it more of a swear or a comma or whatever, can I urge you to allow the Holy Spirit to just remind you, like, no, don't use God's name that way. Don't use Jesus' name that way, because there's power in his name. But every time like you find that like wanting to come out of your mouth, maybe turn it into a prayer. Wow, Jesus, I do need you right now. This situation has wanted me to curse, but instead of curse, I want to like bless. I want to like, because God is, you've given me authority in your name. And can I say also that we pray in the name of Jesus. But don't let that become too common for us. When we're praying and we conclude a prayer with in Jesus' name, we need to pause and reflect on the authority of that, those words. That his name is the name above all other names. And when we pray, can I tell you that sometimes we don't even need to pray long? We just need to pray Jesus over a situation. Pray Jesus. I remember one time when I did that, I think I may have shared this story some years ago, but bears repeating. It was a long time ago. I was in college. The year was 1987. In fact, the day was October 1st, 1987. I was recently married, and I was attending Bible College, and was the Four Square Bible College. And at that time, the Four Square Bible College was downtown L.A. I'm right next to like the historic mother church of Four Square, and the Bible College was housed in this multi-story ancient brick building. It had been built in the 1920s, along with Angelus Temple there, and it was kind of a cool old funky place. And that's where I was that morning. I had an early morning class, and we had just sat down to take a test. It was 7:42 in the morning when that building started rocking. It was the Whittier Narrows earthquake that was happening just really quite close by to Echo Park, part of Los Angeles. And I'm telling you, we're in this ancient brick building, and I think all of our minds went on one thing, is this building coming down? Because it was moving. It was a significant earthquake. In fact, 6 people lost their lives in that earthquake, and over 100 people were injured, and there was hundreds of millions of dollars worth of damage. This is a significant earthquake. And so I like look up and, you know, looking around, and we had these ancient fluorescent lights in the classroom, right? They probably weren't from the 1920s, but, you know, I don't think they had fluorescent light bulbs. But do you remember these type of lights? And they had like these covers over them that looked like ice cube trays. You know, they were just like these little square things. Like, and so they're up. And during the earthquake, one of those like little ice cube tray looking fluorescent light covers swings open. And it's like, I'm picturing the whole building is coming down. I see movement up above me, and I'm like, you know what I did? I just shouted out a one word prayer. At the top of my lungs, I just, Jesus! You know what? And I didn't care. Didn't care who else was like, you know, like, just the name of Jesus. Just the name of Jesus. If you're in a situation where it's dire, when you don't know what else to pray, What is in you will come out of you. What I have, I give to you. You know what came out of me right then was the one thing that I was certain of in my life, that I know that Jesus is not only my healer, not only my miracle worker, but there is salvation in no other name. And God, right now, I need your salvation. I need to be saved. We need to be saved. Jesus! And he saved us. Not only from the earthquake, but from taking that test. We ran out of that building and we did not go back that day, I promise you that. And the building was okay. Bless the Lord. I'm going to finish with this one other scripture. It's the Apostle Paul writing to his friends in the city of Philippi. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. He says, speaking of Jesus, he says, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Listen, it brings glory to God when we use the name that he elevated above every other name. There is no other name. There is no other name. It's the name of Jesus. Listen, I have a confession to make, followed by a little challenge. Since that episode with Pastor Zach at the city council meeting, I've prayed multiple times in front of the city council, including about 3 weeks ago. But you know what? Always in the back of my mind has been that threat. In Jesus' name. And so, you know, when I've prayed in front of the city council, I've concluded my prayers differently. Not wrong, just differently. Something like, you know, and in your strong name, amen. You know, something like that. But you know what? I know that there was some fear in me. Fear of stirring something up. Fear of wanting to be a little bit more socially acceptable or politically correct. And I'm your pastor. And you're like, well, I know that's okay. I mean, wasn't God still hearing your prayer? Well, of course he was. But you know what? I was not bringing glory to God, how we just read, because I was not using the name that is above all other names. And so my commitment to you, and I need to like articulate this and verbalize this, because it is my commitment to you, my church, that any more times that I have the opportunity to pray at our city council meetings, I will be praying in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. But I wonder how many of you, like me, kind of get caught up with wanting to be kind of socially acceptable, liked by a lot of people, don't want to stir things up, don't want to make trouble. And I don't know, you may not get invited to pray in front of the city council. But you know what? You get a lot of opportunities to speak the name of Jesus. You can do it around your dinner table today. Those of you that have children can teach your kids the importance of the name of Jesus. Those of you who are in school, you guys have the opportunity to not just say, well, God's cool. Yeah, you know, it's socially acceptable to drop God into a conversation. It gets a lot weirder when you drop Jesus into a conversation. But you have an opportunity to like say, no, Jesus makes all the difference. It's Jesus. It's Jesus who can bring healing to this situation is Jesus. How about coworkers? About neighbors? Friends, I want to challenge you like I'm challenging myself. Never become complacent about the name of Jesus. Because in his name is all healing, is miracle power, and literally is the only name that is going to be able to bring salvation to whatever situation is being faced in that moment. It's the name of Jesus. Let's pray. Oh God. Oh Jesus. Lord, we pause and reflect on the reality that there is no other name. And what a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. Lord, and we pause and we reflect on even the scripture we were just reading. That at one time in history, there will be a time when every knee is going to bow at that name. And that every tongue will confess. In heaven, on earth, and it even says, and under the earth. That like it leaves no one out. We will all come to that place of recognizing Jesus, you are Lord, there is no other. But friends, I just want to ask you, man, have you bowed your knee to Jesus? Have you allowed your mouth to proclaim and to state, Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord. Jesus, I need your salvation. I need your healing, miracle-working power in my life. And if you haven't done that, man, do not leave this moment without naming him Jesus. I want to make you my Lord. I don't want to serve myself. I don't want to serve money. I don't want to serve my employer. I don't want to serve anyone but you, Jesus. And if that's you, I want you to just like lift your hand up right now. I want you to look at me because I want to agree with you. Jesus is my Lord. Yeah, I agree with you today. It's so awesome. Yeah, anybody else? Yeah, in the back, I'm seeing you, bro. Yes, 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 yes. Jesus, you are my Lord. I am naming you. In fact, I'm just going to encourage all of us together. Would you just lift up the name that's above all names? Would you just begin to just lift up and just say Jesus? Have a conversation with Jesus. All of us, loud enough for yourself to hear. You don't have to like impress someone else. Just start talking to Jesus. Jesus, thank you for who you are. Thank you for what you've done. And Jesus, I make you my Lord. I give you my life. Jesus, Jesus, thank you that you hear me when I pray. Thank you that you are there for me when I call. Jesus, hallelujah. I want to invite up our prayer ministry team because at the end of every gathering, we give opportunity. You know what we do? To speak the name of Jesus. To pray that Jesus would enter any circumstance that someone is facing. Because we know there are trials, there are challenges, there are things that we've got to encounter during life that need the healing, miraculous, saving power of Jesus. And so before you go, man, don't go without receiving prayer. If there is any part of your story that needs his healing, miraculous, saving power to enter into that part of your story. Sound good? Hey, friends, next week is going to be so strong. It's going to be so good. We have a really unique opportunity. Within Foursquare, we serve as in a district, and one of our associate district supervisors, Tim Russell, is going to be here in the house with us. And I'm telling you, you are not going to want to miss it because he's going to bring a great word to us. I am excited to sit and to listen and to grow along with you. And you know what? Man, this is one of our supervisors. We want to like be on our A game, okay? Can you like sing loud, be on time, And I'm going to tell you, and you're going to see why when he's here. He's going to expect you to be loud when he preaches, okay? You're going to be like, get ready for your amens, and like, it's going to be so good being in the house together next week. Church, you are loved by Jesus and by me and by this church. Go in his grace, go in his peace, go in his power.